Word of God that guides us is from 2 Corinthians 5, which was read earlier. We examined it under the theme, preparing to confess Jesus Christ to the world. 7 words. That's the limit, my friends. It's not that there's some magical number 7. We could have gotten a 5 or 10 or 18, I suppose. The point is that we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for the sake of those who are living and dying in sin. We need to be prepared for the sake of our brothers and sisters who need to hear again and anew the life-giving gospel. We need to be prepared for the sake of our own understanding of God's love for us. Yes, we need to prepare, be prepared to share the good news about Jesus in a very simple way. Yes, we need to be prepared to share a short and substantive summary of the good news of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Of course, now, being prepared isn't my idea. It wasn't Pastor Hawk's idea. It wasn't Pastor Figgy's idea. It was God's idea. And God emphasizes that to us through the Apostle Peter, who wrote, "Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that you have." Now let's summarize that simply, shall we? Always be prepared to confess Christ. Can you say that with me? Always be prepared to confess Christ. That's God's desire for you and me, that we'll be prepared to confess Christ as our Savior, as the world's Savior from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. But how can we be prepared? How can we be ready? Well, first of all, we need to keep in mind that confessing the gospel of Jesus begins by confessing something about ourselves. That's right. Making a confession about Jesus begins by acknowledging who we are as confessors. So, who are we? Who are you? Who am I? Are we part of God's creation? Are we one of God's handiwork? Absolutely. That's what the Bible says, right? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that you and I, each one of us, were knit together inside of our mother's womb. Isn't that great? We are God's children. He knit us together. We are important, we're valuable. God doesn't make junk, right? So we confess that we are God's people. We're His creation. We're God's children because of our baptism, right? He adopted us as His sons and daughters. But are we faithful sons? And are we faithful daughters? Not so much. Fragile? Yes. Fallen? Indeed. Failing? Every day. Sinful? Absolutely. That's right. You and I are broken sinners. God made us perfect. But ever since Adam and Eve turned their back on God, all of us are what? Born in sin. We're broken sinners. We sin against God by our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. That's what the Bible says. All, meaning everyone, all the people in the world, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's who we are. And so when we prepare to confess who Jesus is, we realize that first and foremost, we have to confess who we are. We are broken sinners who need a Savior. Yeah. We're broken sinners who need a Savior. We need to be rescued. We need to be saved. Last week, Pastor Hawk mentioned to you an article that talked about some simple ways we can share the gospel. And there were two ways in particular that we wanted to focus in on today. One of the ways was to say this: in Christ, God's yes defeats our no. Can we say that together? In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. The second way was this: God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. Let's try that. God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. Now, those are pretty good confessions of the gospel, pretty good summaries of the gospel. They're not complete, but they're pretty good. Notice that Jesus is central in each of these confessions, right? In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. So right at the center of both of them is Jesus Christ. And any confession has to have Jesus at the center. Of course, they also say something about us, don't they? They say something about us. God defeats our no. God welcomes us anyhow. Now let's consider the first one of those. God's yes defeats our no. What's it talking about? Our no. Our no is our no to God, right? Yeah. God has given us in His Word what? His holy will and His holy ways. He's given us His commands, His commandments, right? And He has told us to follow my holy will, my holy ways, as spelled out in my holy Word. So how did our spiritual parents, Adam and Eve, do? Not so good. They turned their back on God, didn't they? And how about you and I? God says, thou shall, and thou shalt not. And yet so often, we say, God, I'm not doing it your way. I'm going to do it my way. So what we say to God is, I know what you said, God, but my answer is no. No. Yeah. No. That's so often how we treat God. God says, Love me with all your heart. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. And we say, no. God also says, trust me. God says, trust that I made you special and that I will love you with an everlasting love and that I'll always provide for all your needs and I will care for you and I will protect you. Trust me. But too often we say, no. Instead of trusting Him, we worry, right? And we stew, and we fret, right? Doing a lot of that in our culture today, right? It's all about the coronavirus, right? And so everyone's worried, and they're fretting, and they're afraid. Rather than trusting that God will protect us, what are people doing? They're shaking in their shoes. And that's all some people want to talk about. If you turn on the TV, every other story is about the coronavirus. That's all we can talk about. Because we have to be afraid. In fact, I believe that attendance at churches this Sunday is down. You know why? The coronavirus. People are afraid. Yeah, they're afraid. They don't want to shake my hand. So today I'm going to fist bump, okay? Don't worry, you don't have to shake my hand. Okay? People are afraid. But God says, trust me, I will care for you. Trust me, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And yet, even though God calls us to trust in Him, that He will protect us, that He will provide for all of our needs of body and soul, all too often, our answer is no. No, I'm not going to follow your will. No, I'm not going to trust in you. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to trust in myself. So if we're going to confess Jesus Christ, the first thing we have to do is we need to confess who we are. We are sinners. Yes, we are sinners. And that's what this statement says. God, in Christ, God's yes defeats our no. We acknowledge that we are people who say no to God. We're sinners. Now let's look at this other one. It says, God welcomes you anyhow. Now what that implies is that God would be perfectly justified in not welcoming us, right? That God would be perfectly justified in excluding us. Why? Because we turn our backs on God, right? We reject God, right? God says, come here, and what do? Whoosh! We run the other way, right? But the good news of the gospel is God welcomes us anyhow. And that's grace, right? We just sang a whole six verses of one hymn about grace, which is God's unconditional love. We didn't earn it, and we didn't deserve it, right? In fact, quite the opposite. What we deserve is what? Condemnation. Judgment. God's punishment. That's what the law says, right? The law is everybody gets what they deserve. That's the law. And we all run with it, right? We're going to Rochester, and we're going 70, and someone blows by us going 100. And what do we think? Boy, I hope the state patrol's up there and gets that dirty rotten rat. Right? Because we think everyone should get what they deserve. That's the law. Well, we deserve God's wrath. We deserve God's punishment. But the gospel is we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. The gospel is we get what we don't deserve. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel, people. We get what we don't deserve. And that's what this message is. It says, God welcomes you anyhow. That means you get what you don't deserve. You turn your back on God. You go other directions, but God calls you back through repentance. And when we come to God in repentance, and when we confess our sins, the Bible says God is faithful and just and will what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great? And what that really means is God welcomes you anyhow. That's the good news of the gospel. In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. In Christ, God welcomes you anyhow. And that's the good news. What a great confession both of those statements are. because they confess something about who we are, and they confess something about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So now you're ready. You can go all around Byron. You can go all around your family. You can go all around your neighborhood and share the gospel in fewer than 7 words. Right? And it's easy, right? Not so much. Still difficult. Yeah. But again, God would have us what? Always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that we have. That's right. The apostle says, we preach Christ crucified. That's right. We might even add to that. We preach Christ crucified and risen from the dead, right? And that's God's call to each and every one of us. Preach Christ crucified. So let me give you another 7 words that you can share with others. That you want to share the good news with them about Jesus. Try these 7. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's from our text today, isn't it? In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Let's try that. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Now it starts with me. In Christ, God was reconciling me to himself, right? Yeah. Well, why did I need to be reconciled? Because I'm a sinner. And sin what? Separates us from one another, right? It separates us from one another horizontally, and it separates us from God vertically, right? But in Christ, God was reconciling us to himself by solving our sin problem, by taking away the sin that separates us, right? So we're reconciled because the sin problem has been solved by the one who went to that cross and shed his blood. And it's real simple. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. That's a simple way of saying the blood of Jesus Christ reconciles us. It removes the sin that separates us. Yeah. You see, in Christ, God reconciled us to himself. But in Christ, God also reconciled us to one another. Okay? Yeah. I've been married 33 years this June. Okay? And there are moments in my marriage that, you know, there's a little separation. Okay? Usually because of my fault, because I'm a man. And what do men do? We open our mouths and we insert our feet. Sometimes both of them, right? Probably none of the guys here, but at least I do. Okay? You can have your own confession later. Okay? So I open my mouth and insert my foot or feet, and I cause separation because I sin against my wife. But then she applies the blood of Jesus. And that solves the sin problem. And then we are what? Reconciled. Yeah. In Christ, God reconciled the world to himself. He reconciled me to God. He reconciled me with my spouse through the blood of Jesus Christ. But he didn't do it just for me. He did it for the world. That means your Uncle Henry, your cousin Bob, okay? Not this Bob, but a different Bob, okay? Sorry, Bob. Okay? Your Aunt Henrietta. There's no Henrietta here, right? Good. All right. You see, God has reconciled them to himself. Because when Jesus died on that cross, he had them on his mind. He shed his blood for them. He shed his blood for the world. So you can go out into the world that is Byron, the world that is
that is Cassin,
the world that is Rochester, the world that is St. Paul or Minneapolis, and you can say, in Christ, God was reconciling you all, the world, to himself. And that's the good news of the gospel. So that people who are broken, people who are worried about coronavirus, people who are struggling in their marriage, people who are struggling in their relationship with their children, they have hope. Why? Because in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, forgiving our sins, so that we can live at peace with God and at peace with one another. Wow. We've shared 3 7-word sentences that you can share. Isn't that great? See, you can leave here today knowing that when you meet people on the street, you can share Jesus with them in a simple way. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Or you could say, hey, I have good news for you. In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. Or you could say, God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. Now, we're going to talk more in the weeks ahead, a couple weeks ahead, about the gospel in 7 words. We're going to give you some more examples, but we're challenging you also to think of your own. Are you formulating them? You got your 7 words down yet? Take your bulletin home. Take it to your house and use that bulletin as a reminder that you're going to write the gospel in 7 words, your own words, this week. Yeah, use that bulletin as scratch paper. You have my permission, okay? Yeah. Formulate a 7-word sentence that you can share the gospel in your own words with someone else. Now, some of those words might be borrowed from the Bible. Some of those words might be borrowed from a hymn. Some of them might even be borrowed from Pastor Schwartz. Okay? But come up with 7 words that you can use to tell somebody else about Jesus. Because see, while we like to talk, our favorite topic, especially these days, seems to be the weather. It's lovely. It's balmy. Did you know on my way over here today, I saw 2 people walking their dogs in shorts? We all like to talk about that. But you know what? That's really not all that important. It doesn't last long. You know, the next cold front, that'll be over, right? But what lasts? The things of God. The gospel, it lasts. And so, today, as you leave, think about those 7 words. Those 7 words that you might share with someone else, that they might know the good news, that while they are a sinner, they have a Savior. His name is Jesus, who has reconciled them to their Heavenly Father so that they can know that if they die today, they will wake up in heaven in the arms of Jesus. May God grant it for Jesus' sake in your life and mine. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses human comprehension, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.